Matthew chapter 5, verse 5. Matthew chapter 5, verse 5. This is the word of God. Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. Amen. Please be seated. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing of your word. Oh Father, we pray that your Spirit will guide us, that we may understand your word, to know your will, to know you, that we may enjoy you. And Father, we pray that as we hear your word, that your word will cause us to repent of our sins, and that it will cause us to be more and more like your Son, Jesus Christ. Bless us, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Again, let me remind you that through the Sermon on the Mount, we are looking at the pictures of the citizens of heaven. The sermon shows us who we really are in Jesus Christ, and also, it is a dear picture of our Lord Jesus Christ himself. And it is our delight to see that we are indeed like him, that God has made us indeed like him, our Lord. Well, let us continue to see these beautiful pictures of you and me. Verse 5, blessed are the gentle, or many other translations, meek. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Here again, we see a statement that the world has a very hard time accepting and approving. The world knows that to have the world, you must be all kinds of things, but never, never gentle or meek. This is, again, a nonsense to the world. The gentle or the meek, what kind of person are we talking about? Well, first, the gentle or the meek is never equal to the weak. Meekness is not weakness. The meek is not a coward, not a spineless, not a timid person. A meek person is not a person who wants peace, even if he has to compromise the word of God. Gentle is not someone who just don't want to fight, don't want to make big fuss, even when he has to compromise the word of God or the glory of God. The meekness is not even being nice. We say, he's nice. But that is not what we're talking about here. Like I told you many times before, there are many nice people in hell. Yes, they are very nice. It is not being mild-tempered or tamed. Because even among dogs, some are born tamed, or some are just born with a mild temper. And like it, many people are just born with a mild temper. And we're not talking about that. And this meekness is not just an outside appearance. Some people are very good at appearing as meek, even though they are not in their hearts. For a meek person, the meekness is the center of who they are. The meekness, according to the Bible, is a fruit of the Spirit of God. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness or meekness and self-control. Against such things there is no law. The world also speaks of gentleness. But the person who is gentle according to the world is not gentle person or meek person of the Bible. The first and the foremost, you must understand this. The world's gentle person is not the same gentle person or meek person that the Bible is speaking of. Because the true and the biblical meek person is a result of the work of the Holy Spirit. The meekness is the fruit of the Spirit. Thus, non-Christians, they are never meek people, according to the Bible. Biblical gentle person is never a non-Christian because it is the work of the Holy Spirit. So we are not just talking about these nice people out there who are very mild-tempered, who are very soft. See, this is the problem. The world uses the same words that the Bible uses. But the world uses them in a way that are not the same as the Bible uses them. And this is where you need to be careful. You must never use the worldly understanding of a certain word when you read the Bible. The Bible interprets the Bible. Bible will tell you what that word that Bible is using is all about. We are not talking about a worldly peaceful person who seeks worldly peace, even when the Word of God is compromised. Peace at all cost. This is not meekness. This is sin. If you stand, just stand nice, even when the word or the glory of God is compromised, that is sin. That is not being gentle. Even Jesus Christ, our Lord, He got angry. And I could take you to many places in the Bible, but one example will be in John chapter 2. When Jesus saw those who were selling animals and money changers in the temple, what did he do? Did he go gently in a worldly sense? John chapter 2 verse 15 says, he made a scourge of cords and drove them out of the temple with sheep and the oxen, and he pulled out the coins of the money changers and overturned their table. Now, is that meekness to you? That you see our Lord Jesus Christ making a whip, driving these animals and people out, overturning the table? This is not the picture of meekness or gentleness that the world is speaking of. And so many people in the church, they just take the worldly meaning. And they think they are gentle. They're meek. Then what is meekness according to the Bible? What is gentleness according to the Bible? Only the Holy Spirit is able to make anyone biblically meek. And all of the Beatitudes that we are looking at are the result of the work of the Holy Spirit. That is something you should never forget. Non-Christian can never be these kind of people. Unless they understand the Bible in terms of their worldly understanding. And these Beatitudes, we're looking at eight of them. They are a package of blessings of God. You cannot just have a couple and not others. According to the Beatitudes, only those who are poor in spirit and those who mourn, they are the meek. They are the gentle. Only those who acknowledge and believe that they are nothing in God's presence and they cannot do anything apart from God, only those who mourn for their own sins and sins of others, only those who suffer for His glory and who mourn because they do not see the glory of their Lord Jesus Christ perfectly manifested in this world yet, they are the meek. They are the gentle people. Well, in order for us to really understand what is biblical meaning of meekness, we need to go to Psalm 37 because this verse that we're looking at is a quote from Psalm 37 verse 11. So let us go there together, Psalm 37, which we read it as a responsive reading today. Let's start from verse 1. Do not fret because of evildoers. Be not envious toward wrongdoers, for they will wither quickly like the grass and fade like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He will do it. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who carries out wicked schemes. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil doing. For evildoers will be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord, they will inherit the land. Yet a little while and the wicked man will be no more. And you will look carefully for his place, and he will not be there. But the humble will inherit the land, or the gentle, or the meek will inherit the land, and will delight themselves in abundant prosperity. Go down to verse 34. Wait for the Lord and keep his way, and he will exalt you to inherit the land. They will inherit the land. Who will? The humble, or NIV translation, the meek. And according to verse 9, those who will inherit the land are those who wait for the Lord. The verse that we're looking at in Matthew is from verse 11. The meek will inherit the land. But who are these meek? According to verse 9, they are those who wait for the Lord. The meek are the ones who completely trust God. Those who completely depend on God. Those who have hope only in God. And according to the whole Psalm 37, which talks about this person who will inherit the land, the meek person, who is he? These people do not fret nor envy. They trust in the Lord. They delight themselves in the Lord. They commit their ways to the Lord and trust in Him. And verse 7, they rest in the Lord and they wait patiently for Him. Verse 8, they cease from anger and forsake wrath. They do not fret. And verse 34, they wait for the Lord and keep His ways. These are the meek. This kind of person is what we're talking about. These will inherit the land, the Bible says. In Psalm 147 verse 6 and Psalm 149 verse 4, the same word is translated as afflicted or humble. Thus, the meekness has a deep relationship with the poor in spirit. Do you remember the poor in spirit? This person acknowledges that he is nothing in the presence of God. The meekness is how this person who is poor in spirit, how this person acts and thinks in terms of his relationship with God and others. He who humbly trusts God does not complain. He is meek. He who completely trusts in the will of God, he waits on the Lord and His will, he is meek. He who completely depends on God no matter what happens, he is meek. He rests in the Lord and waits patiently for God. He delights himself in the Lord and commits his ways to the Lord. He is meek. In Isaiah 57 verse 13b, it says that those who take refuge in God, not in the idols, will inherit the land. And he is meek or gentle in terms of his relationship with others. All those things that he has acknowledged to God, how filthy a sinner he is and so on and on, All those things that he has acknowledged before God, even when others say the same things to him, he accepts, he acknowledges. It's pretty interesting, huh? That you will go before God and you will acknowledge how filthy sinner you are. You will use all these names to call yourself before God, how bad sinner you are. But as soon as someone else calls you the same thing that you have acknowledged before God, you get all angry. When that happens, and I'm sure it happens in your life, it happens in my life, are we really sincere when we acknowledge these things before God? Because if we sincerely acknowledge how filthy sinner we are, why do we get angry when someone says the same thing to us? Even when others say that he is worse than the worst person in the Bible, Judas, even when others say that he is no better than an insect, this meek person acknowledges, for he knows he is worse than that in the sight of God. He acknowledges, he accepts, because it is the truth. This person is truly gentle, meek. Not just outwardly meek, but in his heart he accepts. He doesn't say, "I'm gonna get you later." You do not call me that. You do not embarrass me like that. I will get you later. In his heart, even though he might be all calm and gentle outwardly, in his heart, he's not meek. Paul acknowledges that he is a chief sinner, the worst sinner. This meek person considers others better than himself. And for this meek person, what amazes him is that how God and others treat him better than what he truly deserves. No matter how bad he's treated here on earth, he knows that that's better than what he really deserves. Thus he is meek. And that meekness will be revealed, will manifest in his relationship with others. Think about it. If you have that kind of understanding, how would you treat others? That's someone who is biblically meek. It's not about calculating what are the benefits or what who might lose if I do this to that person or if I don't do this to that person. It's not about that. It's truly understanding what kind of person you are in the sight of God, in the presence of God. You are so sinful. And you say, "Yes, I am." You deserve to go to hell. And you say, yes, I do. That's why there's no wrath or anger towards anyone. And you're just so grateful and thankful that God treats you as good as He does. He is meek. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, you are a meek person in Jesus Christ. God is inviting you to participate in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ because meekness, it was His life. He is the meek. He never complained. Even as He dies on that cross, even though He never did anything wrong, even as people insulted Him and called Him all kinds of names, He never complained. He completely trusted His Father. He always waited patiently for His Father. He completely entrusted Himself to His Father and trusted His Father literally even to death. He is the meek. And brothers and sisters, God is calling you to live this life because it is your life already in Christ. That He has made you to be this kind of person. Understand, this is not an option. If you are Christians, then you are this kind of people. Christianity is not about forcing yourself to act like someone that you're not. That is not our religion. Christ, when He accomplished our salvation, He accomplished it for you. It's perfect salvation. That in Him you have now become already a meek person. Matthew 11, 28, 30, Jesus says, "Come to Me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn from Me, for I am gentle, meek, and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For My yoke is easy and My burden is light." And in Matthew 21 verse 5, says to the daughter of Zion, "Behold, your king is coming to you, gentle or humble, and mounted on a donkey, even on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden." Do you see the meekness in our Lord Jesus Christ? Paul says this about Him in chapter 2 of Philippians. I read from verse 5. "Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who although He existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied Himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." Let's go to 1 Peter together. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 19. For this finds favor. What finds favor of God? If for the sake of the of conscience toward God, a person bears up under sorrow when suffering unjustly. What finds favor? When you are suffering unjustly, but you endure with joy because of God, then God is delight in you. Go down to verse 21. For you have been called for this purpose. You have been called to live this life. Since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth, and while being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him, the Father, who judges righteously. A meek person. Jesus Christ, our Lord. I guess it is so hard for you who are growing up in today's society, because it's all about my rights. My rights. There you go. You show that you're not meek. Did Jesus ever claim his rights? Did he ever do that? You feel that you're treated unjustly and you're angry about that? What about Jesus Christ? He was treated unjustly, but he never complained. A meek person. You are invited to live this glorious life, brothers and sisters. To you, this life of meekness is given. You are meek in Jesus Christ. Christ has already made you a meek person. And if you don't believe that, then you don't believe his salvation. This is the truth, that you are a meek person in Christ. Your fault is not that you are not a meek person. Your fault is that you do not witness that glorious reality that Jesus says Christ, Jesus has accomplished. But that still doesn't mean you're not a meek person if you believe in Jesus Christ, if you have his salvation. And this is not optional. You must witness this. Because you say, you believe that Jesus has saved you. You must witness that reality in your life. Through your life, you must witness your Lord Jesus Christ, who is meek. You must witness the reality of heaven that our Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished for you and for me. You are forever meek in heaven. And that is already your present spiritual heavenly reality in Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, you must believe. You must believe. Because you being meekness is not going to be accomplished by your effort. I'm not asking you to go out and do your best to be a meek person. No. That's false teaching. The Bible says you are a meek person. And you must believe. And by that faith, you will be enabled to witness that reality. Blessed are the gentle or meek, for they shall inherit the earth. They shall inherit the earth or land. Now, this earth or this land, what are we talking about here? Well, let's understand from other parts of the Bible. Let's go to Genesis 17. In Genesis 17, God makes a covenant with Abraham. And there are certain things that God promises Abraham. And we're not going to deal with all those promises, but just in terms of the land. Genesis 17, verse 7 and 8. I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your descendants after you. I will give to you and to your descendants after you the land of your sojourning, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. Here we see also God's promise to give the land for an everlasting possession. And this is fulfilled in the Old Testament temporarily, earthly, when Joshua conquers the land of Canaan. But we know that that land, the earthly land, is not the ultimate land that God has promised for His people. How do we know this? Because it was taken away from them. Obviously, not an everlasting possession. And if you go to Hebrews 11, go with me to Hebrews 11. Again, we read about Abraham. Hebrews chapter 11, I read from verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. Understand what is happening. God promises this promised land to Abraham, and even when Abraham goes into the promised land, he lives in a tent. Why? Because he knows that land that he entered is not the ultimate land that God has promised. Why did they live in a tent? Verse 10 says, for he was looking for the city which has foundation, whose architect and builder is God. And if you go down to verse 13, all these died in faith without receiving the promises, but having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth, for those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own. And indeed, if they had been thinking of that country from which they went out, they would have had opportunity to return. See, these people, they were looking for a country. But if they were looking for a country that they came out from, like myself, if I'm just thinking about Korea, I could just go back. But no, Abraham lived in that promised land as aliens and strangers. Why? Because, verse 16, but as it is, they desire a better country, that is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Do you understand that even Abraham, who received this promise from God, this land, and when he got there, he understood that that land was just a type, just a shadow of the ultimate land that God is going to give him, heavenly land. Abraham knew, even in the Old Testament, Abraham knew that the earthly promised land is not the ultimate promised land. The true promised land is heaven, the new earth. They shall inherit the earth. And you must understand that as they shall inherit the new earth. The earthly land is possessed right now by the world. And the world and its land will be completely destroyed when Jesus returns. But you and I will inherit the new earth. And this is already our present spiritual heavenly reality. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 10b says, the Christians there are described as having nothing yet possessing all things. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 21. So then let no one boast in men, for all things belong to you, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all things belong to you, and you belong to Christ, and Christ belongs to God. Isn't it comical when the world boasts of their possession to us, when we have all things in Christ? Do you know how it is ridiculous for you to come to me and boast about what you have in this world when I have all things in Jesus Christ? Next time when someone do that to you, you just kind of laugh inside. Because what is this you're showing me? I have all things in Christ. And anything that I will not possess, it will be destroyed. Completely forever. Let us not boast of these insignificant things of this world. This is our heavenly reality in Jesus Christ. And that reality will be visible when He returns. Then the reality that we already possess, the new earth in Jesus Christ, will be visible. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 12, looking for and hastening the day of God, because of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning, and the elements will melt with intense heat. But according to His promise, we are looking for new heavens and a new earth, in which righteousness dwells. Do you hear that? According to His promise, we are looking for new heavens and a new earth. Revelation 21 verse 1, then I saw a new heaven and new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea. Did you hear that? The first earth passed away, then how can it be the earth that God says we will inherit if it will completely pass away? If God's promise in our verse is talking about the earthly earth, how can it be when you look at Revelation, that first earth, this earthly earth, is completely gone? Then how can He promise to us that we will inherit that earth? Obviously, He doesn't mean that. He means heavenly earth, new earth. Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. Here we see that the new era has begun in Jesus Christ. Age of the Holy Spirit has come in Jesus Christ. The heaven has begun. How can we see that from our passage? The new era has begun. Because in the Old Testament, how did the Israelites possess the land? How did He do that? How did they do that? Well, through a military conquest. Just like the world. How can we possess the land here? Well, Israelites, they possessed the land through a military conquest. But brothers and sisters, now the new era has come. How do we possess the land? Or who will possess the land? The gentle, the meek. Nonsense to the world. Yes, the meek will inherit the earth. You, who are poor, you who mourn, you who, like next week, hunger and thirst, you who are meek, you will inherit the earth. Don't envy all these things that you see in this world, and don't envy those people who have them right now. You have far greater things. You possess all things in Christ. Luke chapter 14, verse 11, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, you who are meek, let us patiently wait for the Lord. Let us completely trust Him and not complain. Let us completely entrust ourselves to Him and depend on Him in everything. Let us live the life of meekness that our Lord has accomplished for us. Let us witness our heavenly reality. Brothers and sisters, let us witness our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for this wonderful salvation. We thank you that you have made us already a meek people of God. Let us be like your Son, Jesus Christ, who is the meek. And Father, we are honored to live this life for your glory. Bless us, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.